welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Today's episode is brought to you by rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. It is a Tuesday, but it's a winky Wednesday, whatever. This week is already shot. My schedule is all off, so we're talking to Nick. This is Tuesday afternoon, and I'm going to put the podcast up. It's going to be a Tuesday evening pod. I'm doing evening pods this week, I guess. That's what happened. So the Winky Wednesday arriving a little bit earlier for some of you. For those that listen in the morning, it'll probably still be a Winky Wednesday in the morning. So happy Wednesday to you folks. Happy Tuesday evening for the rest of you. And let's bring on today's guest.
Nicholas Winkler, come on down.
Nick, how are you, sir? It's been a wild week in the world. This thing that were this little marble flying around the universe has gotten wild in 2020. I just saw a story out of Richmond, California, that a man was caught cannibalizing his 90-year-old grandmother. That's this portion of 2020 that we're at now with everything else going on in the world.
And it's not even the craziest thing that's going on. Like, that says so much about what is happening in our world right now. My favorite tweet over the last week or so, or at least 4 or 5 days, is the person that said, hey, you know, shout out to the astronauts who left Earth. Good call.
Yeah, good timing on that one.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, yeah. It's a good spot to go. You're getting away from it all, that's for sure. I mean, obviously, you know, everything is upside down right now. And, you know, hopefully a lot of wrongs get righted going forward. And a lot of people are just being safe.
Yeah.
When it comes to everything, you know, it comes to the protests, when it comes to the coronavirus, just when it comes to just walking out your front door or going to visit your grandson, if you're your grandma, you know, like they might eat you. So just be safe and be smart and make good decisions, people.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yeah. Be safe out there. That's number one. Be safe. Good. Be good to each other. Mm-hmm. And as it pertains to the NFL and our subject matter here on the podcast, we can get bogged down by all the other stuff, but there was an interesting tweet from Adam Schefter today that was, and we'll get to some of those mailbag questions that I got on Twitter earlier this week. We'll get to some of those today with Nick Winkler. Schefter said that basically when teams go camping, they're going to be locked in, essentially, like no ins or outs. And I'm guessing there's not going to be a lot of media involved, or if any, because I don't know if any media members will be cool with just being locked in and not being able to leave either, because they don't want people coming in and out. And if there is sort of an outbreak of coronavirus with one of the teams, they don't want people taking it home to their families or taking it out to other places. And I'm thinking about maybe older coaches that aren't in the greatest health compared to players that probably, and most players are probably, and just that's how players are wired anyway. They'll be like, I don't care, let's go.
Right.
But there might be some coaches that are maybe more susceptible. So there is some worry there. And it sounds like when they do have training camp, they're going to be pretty well locked in together.
Yeah. And that's probably the way it should be. And I can't imagine, you know, if they get through all that and there's still, you know, a lot of cases going around, if they change that very much going forward. I'm sure they're like, okay, camp's done. All right, guys, go be free. It's like, well, is that the smartest decision? You know, go out there and start exposing yourself to you know, your family again and just the public at large, you know? So it'll be interesting. Like, that makes a lot of sense to me. And then it doesn't make a lot of sense to me to break camp and just let everybody run free. So there's got to be something that's going to follow that, some sort of restrictions or things like that. So I'm sure we'll hear more in the weeks and days to come. That's for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. And but we're getting toward football, which looks like it's in some form going to happen. We'll see if they actually hit that start date this season, whether it's preseason or regular season. Regular season in September, man, it's coming quick. It's coming quick. And it's going to be a wild June and July, actually, because if the league and if the league allows teams to start having mini camps, I wonder if that's going to start. It'll almost be like a weird pre-training camp, because you know everyone's going to be there in a heartbeat and maybe doing more than they would have, trying to ramp things up quicker, maybe more players getting injured and hurting their hamstrings because they've been sitting around too much. And we'll find out what players are really good at working out by themselves and which ones aren't. Someone shows up that's supposed to be, you know, 285 and they're 317. You're like, hey, wait a second.
Right.
Are you changing positions? Because you're not supposed to be that big right now. I was talking with Matt Williamson on Locked On NFL today about this, and we have our little home gym situation. I'm glad I bought a spin bike and some new adjustable dumbbells before the shelter in place stuff started happening. So we kind of got lucky there. But I'm having to go do bike rides and long runs and work out just to stay at a level of just normal activity that I would have had before. I didn't realize how sedentary I have become. And just to not, and I'm not getting more in shape. I'm just doing everything I can to stay as in shape, which was poor already, right? And so I wonder for players and maybe bigger guys that it's a lot easier for some people to gain weight than others. I wonder how much that will affect them. And then as things get more lax and people aren't sheltering up, who's going to go do something stupid and go out and get in trouble at the club just because they are trying to do
They've been pent up.
6 months worth of naughty activities into one night.
That sounds like a blast, actually. 6 months of naughty activities in one night. Sign me up.
Let's write a screenplay. How many scripts are going to be turned down by Hollywood about sheltering in place?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure there's so many people that are like, my experience is going to be the experience that everyone wants to hear about. It's not.
Nope.
Yeah, no, I'm the same way, man. I've been doing whatever I can. I got the kids, so, you know, luckily I have to get them out of the house or they're going to go crazy. And we've been scootering a lot. I had bought an adult scooter, so that makes me look really cool.
When you say adult scooter, does it have a motor, or are you talking about like a little skateboard with a stick on it?
Yeah, with a stick on it. I got a kick and everything, man. I got to get my exercise, chase these kids around. And we've been hiking a lot up at Jack's Peak here in Monterey. It's been great. It's been beautiful. I got another case of poison oak, though, so that's the worst.
Oh, no.
I get it by looking at it, though, man. It's so – I don't know why I'm stupid and I go hiking.
Were you going off-road with your scooter through the poison oak?
Yeah, we take the scooters. We just ride down the hills and no helmets. You know, let the kids run free, you know, free-range kids.
Wow.
No way, man. I got knee pads, elbow pads. Oh, okay. I got everything on these kids.
I was going to say, that's ballsy.
No way. I'm that dad. It's like, no, protect them. I don't want their heads damaged.
Did you hear the story about how Raiders first round pick wide receiver Henry Ruggs hurt his thigh? He got injured helping his friend move.
Why would you help your friend move?
Yeah,
Hire somebody, dude.
Yeah. One of my friends put a bumper sticker on his truck when we were in college that said, yes, I have a truck. No, I won't help you move.
Yeah, no, I've had a truck for about 8 months now, and there have been three people that have asked me to help them move, and I've been like, nah, I got a bad back. Sorry.
Also, like, when you get to a certain place in life, it's like, okay, let's weigh this.
Yeah.
How much does it cost to actually hire movers? Because if you can afford it, do it.
My last two moves I've hired, and I will never do it myself again. Like,
definitely.
Yeah, it's expensive, but so is your back. Like, there's certain things you could do to your back that you can never repair. So, you know, weigh that in as you're thinking about, you know, moving your pool table or something like that. It's like, that's probably not the best idea for you there.
Yeah.
Actually, for me, it's like I hit 40 and that was it. I was like, I'm never helping a friend move again.
Yep, never again. I've done it once where I hired movers. I felt weird standing there.
Yes.
And I'm an able-bodied adult. It felt weird standing there being like, hey, dude, we'll take that up to the second level, will you?
You're waiting for him to be like, you do it. It's like, no way. He can't say that.
Yeah, I hired him. That's right. It still felt really odd to not do anything.
No, I kind of hid out. Like, I always call to you, like, you need water? You guys hungry? You want a snack? Like, you guys feel free to use the bathroom. It's fine. I'm encouraging them. Like, you guys are doing great. This is wonderful. I need to get a whistle or something.
All right.
Let's coach out there.
Let's start dipping into some of these questions. There's some good ones. A couple that I missed from last week, and then maybe a little segment that I think we should start getting into weekly here.
Ooh,
Nick,
all right.
On Wednesdays. We'll get into that next. Are you a do-it-yourselfer like me? Then rockauto.com is your place. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. Rockauto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. RockAuto.com is also a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. They have everything. Jumper cables, which is what I need. Man, I wanted to help somebody whose car had died, and I stopped, pull over, go to my trunk. I have a newer car. I haven't needed to jump anything with it. I don't have jumper cables in there. I just thought, you know what? I probably got some jumper cables in the back. Did not have jumper cables. Something you always need, whether it's for your car or somebody else you need to help out on the road. So that's the number one thing I'll be looking for at rockauto.com. But if you need brake pads, if you need motor oil, they have what you need at rockauto.com. The catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Let's start with this question from Jeffrey, and it's a good one. And I think we can, this can be recurring, I think, different eras or different years, different seasons that we want to go back to. It's fun to go back and remember how things went and what things were like when we were growing up, when we were kids, maybe before we were alive, or maybe not that far in the past. And this is from Jeffrey, who says, needed a football diversion. What if scenario here? Instead of bad breaks, what if Harbaugh's 2011 through 2013 teams won three straight Super Bowls? What would the inevitable rebuild, have been delayed? And is it better to be in Shanahan Lynch era now? That's a crazy question. That's one of the things, the what if scenarios that I think about when I do my shadow drafts. If like, well, if in 2013 and 2014, the 49ers would have had better drafts and maybe selected some of the players that I thought they should have, maybe they would have been too good to be able to draft Nick Bosa later. And sure. So there's a domino effect and what's better, being in the Shanahan Lynch era now or winning the Super Bowls? Well, the answer is winning three straight Super Bowls, right?
Right, of course.
And like, it would still...
You never pass up on a Super Bowl. Even winning one Super Bowl in that time would have been awesome.
And we know through that time and now this time how hard it is to win a Super Bowl and even getting there. And here's the other thing. If Harbaugh wins one Super Bowl, is Harbaugh still the coach?
Right. Or at least a coach in the NFL somewhere, you know, not, you know, answering tough questions at Michigan and constantly losing to Ohio State. So, yeah, I mean, you're looking at three teams that were 13-3, 11-4, and what are they, 12-4 after that? Yeah, I mean, that was, you're talking about three great football teams there from 2011 to 2013. And, yeah, it was a bummer that they didn't win the Super Bowl. And you look at some of the constants, too. Like, okay, I see Frank Gore's name on all three. Now, yeah, I see Patrick Willis on all three. You know, there's Navarro Bowman on all three. You know, it's pretty easy to think about, you know, when you have Justin Smith on all three, when you have some solid foundational pieces, Staley, Iupati, like you, these were some great football players that were on these football teams that really solidified the 49ers back then. And, you know, it's I like where we're headed right now. Like, I think we have some great foundational pieces right now as well. So it's kind of fun to kind of compare the two and just be like, okay, what was the same? What was different? You know, obviously, if the 49ers win one of those Super Bowls, especially the last one, if they had won in 2013, the last great season that they had, I think that even if they came back and had that poor 2014 season, I think that we'd still have Harbaugh as the coach. I really do think so.
I think one Super Bowl, Harbaugh would have at least been...
He'd bought himself four or five more years, right?
Right, yeah. And maybe it would have extended to the point where Shanahan had already gotten a job somewhere else.
Right.
It only had to make it to 2017. Would he have just gotten another contract, Harbaugh? How about that? What a crazy storyline that would have been. What if the 49ers won three straight Super Bowls and then... still gone after the 2014 season. How crazy fan, because it was already nutty. Like, going back and like, everybody was team Harbaugh. Everyone was like, Trent Baalke sucks. And well, actually, hold on. Trent Baalke was still the draft ninja, quote unquote, until it took a while, because the 2012 draft was really his worst. That one was really bad. And in 2013 and 2014 weren't great either. But people were still all about Trent Baalke until they realized how bad the 2012 draft was, which wasn't right away. And with Harbaugh, everyone was anti Jed York. Everyone was anti Baalke eventually, and still pro Harbaugh for a while. And it really took until Shanahan and Lynch showed up for them to not be pro Harbaugh as much. And I think that's really flipped, and everyone's like really loves the regime, really loves the team. Now, obviously, you go to a Super Bowl, that really helps with W's really... It cures all ills, basically,
sure,
which is probably what would have happened before if those Harbaugh teams would have won Super Bowls.
Yeah, and you know, now I'm looking at that 2014 team, and I see a lot of the same names on there, and two key missing pieces are Bowman and Willis. You know, everybody else is pretty much the same across the board, it's not a lot of different names on here except for those two guys. And what a difference, you know, what a combo those guys made out there. What a tandem. What, like Batman and Robin, you know, like they were just the dynamic duo, man. And here they are missing 2014, 8-8, and then Harbaugh's gone.
It's pretty amazing. It's also amazing the difference, because if we go back to that 2011 team, how different they performed versus 2010. Just having Harbaugh show up, all of a sudden they're 13-3. It reminded me a lot of what the 2019 49ers were like, when all of a sudden everything just hits. And there just was a clicked, lot of pieces. There were a lot of pieces in place. There wasn't that much different in 2011. Obviously, that was the year that Aldon Smith was drafted, so that helped.
Kaepernick's 2010 year.
That was Kaepernick's rookie year too, right? 2011. That was the same draft. Kaepernick.
Yeah, but he didn't play
in 2011.
Yeah.
Andy Lee. Yeah, I mean, Andy Lee was a constant on all those teams. Don't forget.
Yeah, looking at 2010, Staley, Yapati, you know, they're constant on that left side. Crabtree's in there every time. Alex Smith, Gore, you know, Justin Smith, Patrick Willis. They didn't even have Keo Spikes was the linebacker there in 2010. Remember Spikes?
Yeah. He was the mentor for Willis.
Something that changed the biggest here, you know, from 2010 is the secondary. Not a single name is the same from 2010 to 2013.
Oh, yeah.
Look at that. It's Shante Spencer, Nate Clements, Reggie Smith, and Deshaun Goldson there in 2010. And then, you know, hop up to 2013, and you're looking at, you know, Carlos Rogers, Terrell Brown, Dante Whitner, and Eric Reed.
That's right. Eric Reed came in when Deshaun Goldson was. Were they together for 1 year? Or
I think so. Reed was drafted. No, Reed's a rookie in 2013.
And Goldson, that was when he was a free agent.
Yeah, he was there in 2012.
Okay. Deshaun Goldson was a fun one. That's one of the ones I see a lot with 49ers fans. An underrated player that a lot of fans really liked. The way he hit, the way he played. That was, I think that was a Singletary special. Right? Singletary loved the way he played, and they converted him from cornerback in college to safety because they realized maybe he wasn't athletic enough to be a corner, but he loved to hit, and they put him at safety, and he took off.
Oh, 2012, Aldon Smith, 19 and a half sacks. Oh, my goodness. Do you think he's going to do anything in Dallas? Do you think they approved him to come back?
I don't think so. He's on the wrong side of 30. He hasn't played in a while. Last time I saw him, he still looked like he was he just didn't look like he was all there.
Sure.
And maybe he's changed and things have been fixed for him, but I just worry about his mental state and how that might be teetering on the edge at all times. And then you can't just not play for – he hasn't played since 2015, right?
It's a lot of years,
he can't just not play for 5 years. And
2015, and even then, wow. He didn't play that many games. He only played 7 games that year, 6 the year before. He only played 2 full seasons, his first 2. And that was it, 16-16, and then 11-7-9. And now he's been gone.
Again, my jersey theory. Who bought Aldon Smith jerseys in 2012 and felt really good about it, right?
What's crazy, though, is dude has 47 and a half career sacks. Like, that's nuts.
That's crazy. Oh, he was a freak. And look, that's what – with that position, you don't need – it's not like a quarterback who has to come in and learn a whole new system and has to play every snap that they're in a game. He just has to come in on some third downs and use those long arms and still have some technique and still have some of that athletic ability and play 20 snaps a game and be really dynamic. I mean, you could really help out a football team doing that. So it's not impossible. I just don't see how likely it is that a guy who hasn't played in 5 years can even win a roster spot.
He's healthy. I mean, you could look at it that way. Hasn't been dinged up over the last 5 years. So that was the one bright spot I could see.
He's not that, what is he, 31?
31, yeah.
Frank Gore, by the way, I get a lot of people that ask me if Frank Gore is going to sign with the 49ers. The answer is always yes, I guarantee he signs with the 49ers, but it's not to play. It's going to be a one-day contract.
Yeah, be like Bowman. We just saw that recently. We'll see it again with Gore. There's no doubt he's going to retire as a 49er.
He'll
end up in that ring of fame.
The 2012 team was the best, right? That was the team?
I think so, yeah. They had the worst record, though, regular season of the three, but yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah, they did, but man, with prime Aldon Smith, 19 and a half sacks, Justin Smith, Alex Smith, but then you have Kaepernick backing him up in his second year.
Right.
Frank Gore, prime, 1,200 yard rusher, Frank Gore, Crabtree.
Oof, yeah.
Vernon Davis, is that the Vernon Davis, the really good Vernon Davis year too?
Yeah, it was, because, yeah, the next season was 52. What did he have there in 12? Yeah, that was his best. No, that was the 41 catches for 548. No, I think maybe 2013 was the best. I don't know. I'm looking at Bolden came on board in 2013.
Mario Manningham. I totally forgot about Mario Manningham. Oh, my gosh. That wasn't that long ago. That name completely escaped me. Holy crap. Right. He was the Niners' second leading receiver that year. 42 catches for 449 yards.
Oh, here's a name that I loved for a long time. Sopuaga.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
I love that dude in the middle. That's what you want a nose tackle to look like, with his power and the way he was built. He's only 6'2", but he was like 330 pounds, all butt and legs, and just brute force and power. I think that's a good way to put those teams, too. Brutal. Those teams, those collisions up front with Justin Smith, Isaac Sopuaga, I mean, Ray McDonald.
They're solid, man. Yeah, look at Gore's numbers. Oh, man, this is fun. This is fun to look back. Hey, remember Bruce Miller?
Oh, geez.
Crazy guy.
Bruce Miller. Oh, what the hell happened there, man?
Right. He just lost. He got a little too intoxicated. Ruined his career.
Niners got pretty good, and they almost went like too far drafting players and completely changing their position. He was a defensive end, undersized pass rusher in college, and they turned him into a fullback. Like, how do you even see that and be like, oh, right, you know what? That guy's going to be a professional fullback, and he plays on the opposite side of the ball, a completely different position.
He can block. I just know it. Josh Morgan started opposite Crabtree in that 2011 season.
Quentin Patton, remember?
Yeah, that's a good Patton, one. Sure.
I saw somebody recently comparing. There were some really weird post-draft comparisons. One of them was somebody compared. It was somebody on, I think it was Arizona State's staff, that compared Niners first rounder Brandon Ayuk to Quentin Patton. They said, I knew this guy's going to be great. He reminded me a lot of Quentin Patton. I was like, I hope he's better than Quentin Patton.
Right.
I mean, Quentin Patton was a fine player and a good athlete, and he made it to the NFL, which is amazing, and not many people get there, but that's not necessarily the comparison I would want to put on your first round wide receiver.
Remember when Braylon Edwards was on the 49ers?
I do remember that. Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, here's a good constant name, too, on all these. David Akers. Solid.
Yeah. Lefty.
Yeah. Kicker extraordinaire. I love those lefty kickers, man.
I forgot how good of a year Anquan Boldin had in 2013.
He was a beast.
85 catches, 1,100 yards.
It's fantastic.
That one was hilarious, too, because he had maybe the biggest play against the Niners in the Super Bowl. And the Niners are like, yeah, you know what? We're just going to go ahead and sign him.
You can't beat him. He came back with 83 and 1,000 the next year, too. I mean, Boldin was just solid.
Such a unique player because of how heavy-footed he was, but the way he won, and he still got open and made contested catches like crazy and kind of powerful after the catch. But I remember a scout talking about Anquan Boldin, and he ran that famous awful 40 time at the Combine. Somebody said that they weren't watching him run his 40. Maybe it was his pro day, but they weren't watching him run his 40, but they thought literally there was a horse running. It was so loud. It was so loud with his feet hitting the ground. Yeah, and they turned and it was Anquan Boldin.
That's Do you think he's a Hall of Famer?
No.
No?
No.
I mean, these numbers are pretty good.
The numbers are great.
1,000 career catches, almost 14,000 yards, 82 touchdowns.
Where's that put him on the career yardage list? Hold on. Let's look that up and then come back, talk about Anquan Boldin, Hall of Famer or not. And we've only answered one question, so let's hit some other questions here on Locked On 49ers, Winky Wednesday. Tuesday. Okay, looking at the all-time list here, is Anquan Boldin a Hall of Famer is the question. I did not realize he was this high up the list. 13,779 career receiving yards. 14th all-time.
Yeah, but you look at the guys' names around him and you think, okay, yeah, maybe not. I mean, Andre Johnson a Hall of Fame receiver? He's ahead of him. Henry Ellard. Torrey
it's hard
Holt.
Because you can't, it's hard to compare eras, especially receiving yards. That's the one, that's why Rice's numbers are so ridiculous and stupid. And he's 5,000 yards ahead of Larry Fitzgerald, who's number two on the list.
Right.
But because it's hard to compare eras, because Steve Largent, I mean,
Sure.
You know,
but he got passed a long time ago. He's only at 13,000, 18th on the list. I mean, Irvin Fryer, you know, you got a lot of guys on here that aren't in the Hall of Fame. And probably what Brandon Marshall's there at 22.
My thing with the Hall of Fame has always been that too many people get in, mm-hmm. and it should be such a no doubt answer. That's what the Hall of Fame is. The Hall of Fame is like the Hall of Very Good. There shouldn't even be all the people that people debate. If there's a debate, then it's a no. It's like, are they a Hall of Famer? Yeah. It's like, yes, obviously this is a Hall of Famer. That's your Hall of Famers.
Right. But there's people that say that Frank Gore shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame like that.
Well, there's stupid people in the world too. So
that's a great point. Steve Smith's 8 on this list. Is he going to get in?
Steve Smith's 8? Steve Smith will get in the Hall. Yeah. Steve Smith will make it.
Steve Smith with his 81 career touchdowns, 1,000. I mean, these are almost identical numbers to Anquan Boldin. 1,031 receptions, 14,731 yards, and 81 touchdowns. So less receptions, less touchdowns, and about 1,000 more yards than Anquan Boldin.
He was mouthier, though. That's why he's going to get in.
There you go. That's one way to put it. Let's see. In how many games? He played 219 career games. Where's Boldin at on this?
Steve Smith has a better...
He played 17 less games than Steve Smith.
Steve Smith has a better PR team.
Yeah.
here's the thing, is if Steve Smith doesn't get in, he would have the most yards to not be in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
After that, it would be Andre Johnson and Anquan Boldin.
Yeah, Reggie Wayne's there too.
Reggie Wayne is going to get in. He's not in.
Once they do the induction. Andre Johnson, no, I don't think Andre Johnson's getting in. I don't see it.
I think Smith will eventually get in. Andre Johnson will then be the guy who's not in the top 10, who played in a pass-happy era, who will be the guy with the most yards that's never not in the Hall of Fame.
Okay. So you think Boldin never going to get in?
I mean, all these guys might get in eventually, but just for me, and look, I'm not a big fan of the Hall of Fame period anyway. I mean, I like the museum, and all these guys in some form, I'm sure, have something in the museum. And just to me, it's like, look, you have to be able to not tell the story of the sport without this person. So there's not that many pure Hall of Famers. And it's really personal because I understand why Roger Craig's not in the Hall. But to me, he's a Hall of Famer. Like Will Clark, Major League Baseball. It's my all time favorite baseball player. He's first ballot Hall of Famer for me. He's the first guy I put in.
You look at his numbers and you're like, nope.
Yeah. If it was Brian Peacock's Hall of Fame, it would be Pete Rose, Barry Bonds, and Will Clark would be the first class. You know what I mean?
I love it. So, yeah, that's a good list.
It's not for me. The Hall of Fame's not for me, so I usually don't get wrapped up in that conversation.
Julio Jones, he's already at 12,000 yards.
Oh, Julio's in. Julio's in even if he retires probably today.
I think you're probably right because he was dominant.
Yeah. Should we not answer another question?
Why? You know, we kind of went off on our own. It was a great question. He killed it, man.
Good job, Jeffrey.
Yeah, Jeffrey bringing it. You guys, be more like Jeffrey, all right?
Here's one because this is an old question, actually, that I've had in my queue, and I just want to shut it down. This is from Tony, and I've seen it a few times. Kind of like the Gore question. This one is about Clowney, and he tagged you in it, too. So I want to get to this one real quick. We'll finish with this.
You tag me, you get to the show. I like it.
Tony says, at BD Peacock, at Bay Area Wink, could Clowney be looking to sign a smaller one-year deal with a Super Bowl contender? Hashtag fat chance. But what if? Shout out to little Leo. So Tony wants to be in the pod because he shouts out Leo, first of all, and he tags Wink. That's the best way to get into a Winky Wednesday podcast.
Well played.
Tony knows it's a fat chance, and I agree with Tony. Yeah. It's a fat chance. I think Clowney could sign a one-year deal with a Super Bowl contender. That's not the crazy part, but the 49ers already have to figure a lot of stuff out. The cap might not grow. I don't really know what Clowney is expecting to get. The fact that he hasn't signed already hurts him, so he almost has to sign a one-year deal because I don't know who's going to sit there and say, oh, we have a bunch of extra money all of a sudden in July and sign Clowney to a long-term deal. And he's hurt himself because if he would have signed before all this other business, he probably could have got a better long-term deal than he would get even if he does Clowney stuff for another year if the cap doesn't go up next year.
Right. Yeah, I think he'd have to take a huge discount to come to the 49ers. I don't see that happening. See him weighing his options and taking the most money at the end.
I think he ends up going back to the Seahawks, plays under a one-year contract, and then tries it again next offseason maybe. Yeah, I can definitely see that. Just the 49ers, they've got to figure out how to pay Kittle. They can't afford a big one-year contract, I don't think. But it's not impossible. It's definitely not impossible. It's very unlikely. It would have to take probably a Bosa or D Ford or Eric Armstead injury to where the Niners are like, oof, we're really thin at this position all of a sudden, and we somehow move some money around and we can afford to give him a 1-year deal.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't say no to it. Like, I'd be down if he came at the right price, and, you know, because he'd help the football team. There's just no doubt about it. But yeah, I just don't see it happening.
Or he's like really pissed off at the Seahawks, and he's like, all right, you know what? I'm going to take a $5 million 1-year deal to go play with the Niners.
Right.
And the Niners like, eh, all right, we'll do it.
Okay, fine.
That's it. We're out of time, Nick.
It's been fun, buddy.
Yeah. What season? I like that dive into past seasons. Let's go back to like the 88, 89, 90 49ers. Okay. We talked about what ifs about multiple Super Bowls. How about the one that really almost won 3 Super Bowls in that era? And that's the era that I first remember and fell in love with the 49ers. So let's start there. And every week, maybe go back and look at a different era, maybe a different season, because it's fun to remember. Just looking at stats and remembering names, maybe tell the story of some of these seasons.
Yeah, that'll be fun. And then there'll be times where we're like, God, why did we go to this time? Like, these names, oh, God, what were they thinking? But yeah, I love it. Let's go back to where it all started for both of us. That 88-89 season was for me, for sure. So
Let's do it. We'll be back. I'll be back tomorrow. Nick will be back next week right here. Locked On NFL.
See ya.
Locked On 49ers.
See ya.